Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 275 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week we continue our Humana coverage of the 36th annual Humana Festival for New American Plays, hosted by Actors Theatre of Louisville. And this week I have O Gastronomy Playwrights, and that was the Apprentice Showcase, and then I have the playwrights of the 10-Minute Plays. So we'll get into that right after these brief messages. Hey actors, want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah! Use your name as your domain name. Check out DreamHost, it's easy to set up, and because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right, go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet.
Yet I ask you to take time to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them. And they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater!
Alright, so I'm joined by the O Gastronomy playwrights. So, starting on the far end, kind of say your name and let's work our way around.
This is Michael Colanco.
Matt Schatz.
Tania Saracho.
Steve Molds.
Alright, so welcome guys. I have to say, I loved it. I thought it was really, really great. Thank you very much. Yeah, we'll get that part out of the way.
Now we can get to the real.
Yeah, but would I hate it? No. But I mean, I was telling Amy, I thought it, as a piece, it worked, you know, it could work as a single entity. You know, I liked how every element was kind of blended together and storylines were carried through. Because, you know, you've seen some of the past years, and I'm not going after anybody, but they sort of would take a theme, but it would be like, okay, here it is. This is, you clearly had, right? And then the next scene, and then and I liked how your piece sort of ebb and flowed together and seemed to work really well.
That was all Amy and Sarah, I think, because they came with it from the get-go, and they said, we want something more cohesive, so more of a tapestry. Mm-hmm. And so their design was from the beginning. That was kind of how we were assigned the pieces.
Yeah, so shorter scenes. I think at first some of us tried to write longer scenes, and they said,
no,
stop. and make them shorter, and you know, and really sort of try to, you know, so we have it's more of a dusting of ingredients.
Nice, wow, that was Matt, wordsmith.
Okay.
We had a really hard time avoiding food puns. I mean, throughout the process.
Let's talk about your process. When were you kind of? When were you asked to do this? When did you guys first meet as a group? How often? And that sort of thing.
September, December, some other time.
We were asked last summer. Right.
July or August or something.
Yeah, we got emailed about it.
Right.
and then September was the first time we all came.
I think early September. And then and we met all the apprentices and they sort of... not auditioned for us, but maybe did some
they
monologues.
Shared a little
they
bit.
Shared, yeah.
They did a that talent
was,
show.
Yeah.
A talent
yeah.
show. Yeah, it was
that was the most interesting part, because that's like you don't have access to all 20 plus of them, right? Mm. That much, but that those little 2 minutes that they were able to do, oh, we could see that person sings, or they shared a story, or also they're supposed to share a dish, right?
Oh, yes,
right,
yes,
and
yes.
So a lot of people brought really interesting dishes, or like they had maybe the dish was whatever, you know, but it was like, oh, these are pierogies. My grandma was Polish and stuff, you know, and that right. inspired
yeah.
some of that.
Right, they told their uh-huh. they a dish yeah. with a story.
Right.
So did that influenced your individual pieces, or did you yeah. kind of break off and say, I'm going to write about this, I'm going
to
write about that?
Yeah, I think we tried to get inspiration. Mike didn't. Mike just went on his own. He didn't care.
He didn't care.
I don't actually eat food.
Yeah.
Mike actually repurposed scenes he'd written for other plays.
Right. Yeah, right.
Oh, so it was more of a workshop.
Yeah.
For you.
And I think they threw out my stuff.
Right. And I think you're going to turn. You think yeah, you're going to keep using the you know, and maybe right. also use our pieces for another one of your plays.
I have a musical yeah. coming up. With much of your work.
Yeah, I'm excited. somebody have to see it then. Yeah.
I tried to do this thing that I used to do with my theater company, Teatro Luna, where we build pieces from like autobiographical sources, but we didn't have enough time. But it was really interesting because they let me break off and do my process, even though a lot of it wasn't used. In one piece, in the numbers piece where they're throwing marbles, some of those stories I mixed with mine, and I did, you know, so it did end up in the show.
Right.
But like, feel like they let us do what, like, you had a different process with your music,
right.
I had a
right.
like they Amy and Sarah were really like respectful of that, and then we, you know, I think that it shows a little bit.
And when we were here in September, I mean, at least for me, it was really fertile because I mean, I think I wrote two of the songs that we ended up
yeah.
using,
yeah.
And I think in one night, the two. I've written other things, and I went back home and
you're
and
a genius.
I went back home in the interim and wrote like five other songs that we didn't end up using. So it was I think it's something to be said that when I was here and when we were here with the hanging out with the apprentices. And I got a sense of their voices, then we would go back to the hotel and I feel like I had my ukulele and I would sort of think about what they could do.
I thought this year's group particularly was very musical.
They were, yeah.
Their voices were amazing.
Yeah. And the different instruments.
Well, yeah, that was great too.
Oh,
I know.
No, they had good voices too.
Right, they're amazing. But I'm a playwright but also a composer lyricist, and I think when I was asked to do this, they mentioned it'd be great if your pieces could include original songs, and I thought, great, maybe I would do like half and half and do some scenes. But when I saw how musical they were, I was like, what's the, you know, we have four other great playwrights to write just them talking, and so maybe I'll you know, focus on singing and rapping.
And rapping.
The rapping is yeah. really great.
Right.
Your songs are stuck in my head. I sent Matt a video yesterday of me, because I don't remember the lyrics, just singing What Tastes Like Home. Is that
yeah,
my
yeah,
best
I
song?
Yeah, yeah.
I was just, oh, that song, you know, The Soldier. Mm-hmm, oh, mm-hmm. God, I'm going to cry right now. Let's cry.
It killed me to delete it. No, I didn't. I don't have that much room in my phone. No,
I
know.
I even warmed up for you as I was singing it. I was trying to audition.
Really. No, you have a lovely voice.
Oh, man.
So let's go around the room again. And what for you individually, what has been your favorite either piece favorite part of this process for your each individual?
Favorite piece of our own or?
Or no, just do
you. No. Okay.
I mean, we could.
No, I mean, I don't know.
You can back slap if you want, or you can say.
No, well, I really love I was saying this to Mike the other night. You know, there I love the writing in the entire evening.
Yeah.
But there's one piece, like, there's one of Mike's pieces that my mom won't let me eat that I actually felt, I wish I had written that.
Yeah.
I think
me
you
too.
Did, actually. And I think that's, it's so perfectly, and it's the exact right length. It's like, the right number of jokes, and then we're done.
Yeah.
And it's insightful, and we know that kid,
right? It's true,
yes.
And it's and has the Galamko precision, which is
oh yeah,
that's just something.
Like,
he's blushing, everyone, right now.
What's Tanya? What's the name of your piece with Zoe and
oh, In the Line.
In the Line, yeah. That's the one that sort of dramatically affects me the most
yeah.
in the evening. I either tear up or cry at that one. I think it's really powerful, and I think that, yeah,
they do it so well.
They do it. It's yeah, and it just they do it really well, and
so
you know, And you did it. You did it well.
Thank you. For me, it's Tastes Like Home. It's that song. It's, I mean, I was like prepping to cry. See, but it's just, it's so powerful. It just, and their voices are clear and just what it says. And it's so short. Like I the second workshop, I was like, Matt, it has to be longer. You know, I just want to be in that place longer. But he was like, no, it's the right length. And you're right. You're right. You know, it's just, it packs a punch. It says so much about like our the state of affairs, you know, and it's so catchy that I'm singing in the shower too. You know, I'm sorry. I love it. No, I don't know. I need to learn the lyrics.
No, I'll give it. We'll do a record.
Nice. A record. Like a vinyl.
We'll put it out. I can picture us on the cover of you and me.
We'll drop. Oh, yeah.
At least make it a 45, right?
Yeah, that'd be great. I'd prefer that, actually. 7-inch.
For me, it's, I think it's the two bookending pieces. Steve's pieces.
Oh, yeah.
With the family feast at the end, and you're wondering if she'll actually make it home, because, you know, a lot of this the show is about people coming together over food. Initially, it was just all about food and our favorite recipes, but we were like, oh, we should have a people element too, because there are people that are going to watch this show. Not, you know, I'm just kidding, but like,
right. Yeah. We're not writing for carrots, right?
Well,
that was actually, you go ahead.
No, I'm kidding though. I never, like, even don't really look at food. Like, food, to me, it's emotional. Yeah. I have a weight problem, so like, all my stuff I dealt with, like, the emotional aspect of food, because it's just, when I got invited to do this, I was like, awesome, I'm so damaged by food, I will have so much to write about, anyway, but like, so like, you know, some of us early on were brought like actual, or, it, you know, it was about food, but to me it was about the, like, everything else that's around food. I'm sorry I interrupted you, Steve.
No, I was just going to say, I think, process-wise, getting to know the apprentices first, so that, I mean, I'm glad that's where it all started. That we weren't just asked to write scenes about food from afar and then we can try to force it onto them. Right. I mean, it really was these people, and like Family Feast was just Amy and Sarah saying they wanted to find a way to get all 22 on stage at once. So it's like, how do you do Thanksgiving without having it be Thanksgiving is the idea.
Yeah.
And we also went on field trips around Louisville, and that's a great way for me to get to know Louisville. We went to a farmer's market. Well, some of us, we split up.
Farmer's market.
The food truck.
Food truck at Truckus.
White Castle, White Castle.
Like, I got to work the grill at White Castle.
Oh, wow.
Which is amazing and horrifying. Yeah. Not horrifying in a, just like the efficiency is amazing.
I volunteered at a soup kitchen because I'm a better person than the rest of you.
I clogged people's arteries.
Some of us did that, and and it was, and we should also say that also there's a fifth of us, Carson.
Oh, yes. Carson,
who's not with us this morning, but.
Oh my, can we talk about the, okay, so we were supposed to bring food. I didn't get the memo. Maybe I did. I didn't read it. That happens to be how I my MO. But she brought, because she grows tomatoes.
Uh-huh.
Her peace tomatoes is in it. Right. She grows, and she brought us in her Tupperware one purple tomato to share just with everybody. Jessica, I have never in my life. Oh, with pink
purple,
salt.
Yeah, pink salt,
That she brought from, I don't know what country.
Yeah, I don't know.
And I've never tasted anything like it. She grew that tomato, and we just got a little sweat.
Sliced
like,
it for us. It was Delana.
It was amazing. I still remember it, and I went back home. I tried to buy purple tomatoes at Whole Foods. I was like, it just wasn't the same. Whatever she grew, and that, I think her pieces for me came together before they were written. I understood what she meant about the, you know, she's talking about ingredients because she grows that stuff.
Mm-hmm. It's nice to have a writer in the team that has some kind of relationship to the soil.
Yes.
And to the actual, instead of, you know, instead of just going to a restaurant and ordering, which
crying over Fritos.
Right. Crying over Fritos, I mean, these are all valid forms of expression.
Of course, I mean, that's, I think that's why it works.
They're very essential questions at a certain part in your life.
Sure.
One more question before we head out of here. How was, when you first pitched Banana Girl, how was that received?
What? So,
and I'm so glad it's your piece,
yes.
Right? I was so glad.
That it was a female?
Yeah.
I'm slightly ashamed that it was mine, being a feminist, but that's what I was trying to say something like that. But nobody hears it because we're watching Banana Girl. I you know, our pieces were due, and that day, I had written this, like, just... I had started this other thing, and I'd written this banana thing, and I was like, I will never send this. I will never send this. This is a skit. I don't write skits. I know I'm from Chicago, but in Chicago, there are improvisers and comedians that write about it. I don't write skits, you know? And then I just clicked send, and they called me like a week later. Oh, we're trying to understand Banana Girl, so she's just... And they wouldn't say the word. And I was like, yes. I was like, yes, filleting the banana. Yes, that's what she's doing. And all right, so what the point, it's just, I had a conversation with someone and they were like talking about this girl, you know, a guy was talking about how sexy. And I was just like, I bet that girl is not even doing anything but eating a banana, you know? Yeah. So that, I mean, it was just a conversation I had with someone. But I didn't know how I was going to translate because I didn't come to the last... I Skyped in for rehearsal from LA, and I saw kind of what Lisa was doing, but oh, very. So I feel like her mom was gonna slap me if she ever meets me. You know, I feel like what. But anyways, she seems to enjoy. Enjoyed it very much.
I enjoy it.
Yeah,
too. It's very enjoyable. It's good. Yeah.
It was. I mean, there is that. Sex and food. There is
right, and I saw your balance of the women in the scene. Not even like what she's just, you know.
Yeah, they don't see that. They're just seeing banana. You know.
Yeah.
I try and balance the social political stuff. You know, with the hunger.
I think it comes.
It worked. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Well, I want to thank you guys. I've been getting the wrap-up signal. So I want to thank you guys for stopping in and chatting with me.
Thank you so much.
All right, so I'm with the 10-minute playwrights and kind of going down the room to shout out your name and the name of your respective pieces, please.
Hello, I'm Kyle John Schmidt, and I wrote The Dungeons and the Dragons.
I'm Laura Jackman, and I wrote Hero Dad.
Hello, I'm Nick Pappas, and I wrote The Ballad of 423 and 424.
Okay. I loved every one of your pieces. I thought it was very, you know,
thank you.
Very well done for various, you know, various reasons, obviously. But as a group, how were you? You submitted, each one submitted your work, mm-hmm. and then you were chosen, and then you just showed up? Or did you guys ever meet through this whole process of organizing the festival?
Well, actually, all three of our plays were produced by the Apprentice Intern Company back mm-hmm. in January,
mm-hmm.
which is sort of unusual, I think, that all three plays that end up at Humana were then also acted, produced, designed by that company in January. So I think we're two of us here then, maybe? Although we didn't meet.
I wasn't here, actually.
Oh, maybe I was the only one who came in. Well.
Yeah, it was just you. Yeah.
I came in.
But it was a great meeting, right?
Yeah. It was a great 30 hours. We've all been here since last Monday, and I think mm-hmm. that was the first time we met, and became fast friends.
Yeah, it's been exciting. You know, to be honest, you know, theater world, you never know what you're going to expect, and... you know, ego can always get in the way and things like that, but everyone's been wonderful, and you two have been so wonderful to me, so I just appreciate that.
I'm touched. Yeah.
But it's been exciting.
Okay, cool. So I guess we can kind of... what was the Dungeons & Dragons? I'll start with your play there. Obviously, the game itself played a lot in the...
yeah.
You were... an avid D&D person, or just was it friends that play D&D?
Well, actually, I didn't start playing. I'm a late life D&Der. I didn't get into it until 3 years ago. But I still play now. But I met some friends at a club, and one of them played D&D, and then all of a sudden there were just a group of gays playing D&D.
Wait, I wanted to be clear. So. People who play D&D actually go to clubs as well?
Yes. There's one.
Okay.
He's a goth kid named Mother Kyle. And the game was, it was the funnest thing I've ever done because we had like a ballet dancer, a fashion designer, a poet, and this goth kid named Kyle. And we played D&D and like all of our adventures like centered around like, us going and synchronized swimming. And,
oh, wow.
And so they were all like, I don't know, we always went on these crazy, wild, kind of fabulous adventures. So,
what's your character's name? I've been meaning to ask you.
Oh, my first character's name was Abertiremac. And that's a amalgamation of Reba McEntire's name. So a lot of the, from that first game that I played, a lot of the play kind of sprouted from, like, Felicity Hydrangea Carmichael is a direct ripoff of one of my dear friends' characters, so.
That's amazing.
That's very cool, that's very cool. And going to Hero Dad, sort of dramatically different kind of feel from the other two. But I thought, that's what I love about the 10-minute format, is that you can cover so much and go in different directions. And I love that it's the unifying factor of 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do whatever you want in 10 minutes, you know. So what drove you to kind of create this various versions of Dad-dom?
Dad-dom. So it's inspired directly by my upstairs neighbor, whose daughter is now, I think she's now 6, and she's now super cool. But when we first moved into the building, we were the first ones there, and then he moved in, and he only gets his daughter a few weeks a year. And there was an incident of shoes, which of course is recreated in the play, and there was an incident of me overhearing him telling our landlord, "That's my daughter, man. That is my daughter." And that was the seed for it, of sort of these guys who are not necessarily bad fathers, but who you can sort of foretell the future for these guys. That it was not something necessarily that they chose, and that it's not something necessarily that they're going to be able to stick with.
Right.
Or stick with in a way that's going to be good. So that was the seed for it. And I think also, I mean, the cool thing about a 10-minute play, and why I think it's actually, when I teach, I make my students write only 10-minute plays. I think it's much harder to write a great 10-minute play than it is to write a good full-length play.
Right.
Because you have to tell the complete story.
Right.
It's not just a slice, it's not just a sketch, but you really have, I mean, you have 10 minutes to create the world, to create the characters, start a story, and end a story.
Right.
Yeah.
And for you, for your impetus for your 10-minute play?
I really wish I had a cool story like that. I met him not to
quit making
at a club.
He was a D&D fan.
Yeah, he was a D&D fan. He was a child.
Yeah.
And
he would roll and then run out of the room.
No, actually, I was in grad school and was talking about an assignment that I was given to write a play based on a Shakespearean sonnet, and I was just like, "This podcast have a." What's the rating?
We're family on a rating, but I can bleep if you're gonna go on a tirade.
No, not a tirade. I felt like going on a tirade because I just thought it was like the most. It was like just a bullshit assignment. I hated it. I thought it was the worst thing in the world. So as a typical, I think playwright does, I procrastinated to the very last minute. And at like 4 in the morning before it was due, I was like, all right, I'm going to knock this thing out. And just started. And within an hour and a half, I did the whole first draft, which was basically what was on stage minus one scene. And that has never happened before, and it'll never happen again. But it was just one of those really great things that I felt like it informed me a lot about my own process. And, I think that idea of, I think you guys agree, sometimes just forcing yourself into a situation where you can't have your guard up, sometimes some great things can come of that because you get out of your own way.
Mm-hmm. Right. What was the sonnet?
It was the 23rd sonnet.
Which is?
Expand.
You know what's really funny is I couldn't tell you, I don't know the exact sonnet, but what happens more or less in the sonnet is Shakespeare's talking to a lover, and he's writing a sonnet to a lover, and he can't express how his feelings to this person in any other way other than writing in a book of poetry and handing the book of poetry over.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah.
I'm not being rude here. I actually have Shakespeare on the phone.
Yeah.
I'm not like, oh, God, it's Jesus.
Yeah. Yo, Shakes, what's up?
Hey, Shakes, how's it going?
Well, it's supposed to have everything on there, but anyway. Ultimate fail, but that's all right. We can edit that out. So what's next for you guys?
That's a good question.
I'm heading back to Austin, where I live, and I've got a theater company there, and we're working on our our next amalgamation, and et cetera, et
cetera. We'll plug the company. What's the company?
We're the Kid Magicians, and we...
It's D&D based.
It's D&D based. Actually, what we do... Ooh. I'm coughing. You might want to cut that part out. Okay, sorry.
No, it's the tension, it's the drama, yeah.
We do a lot of, like, neoclassical stuff. Like, a lot of my plays that I write with them, I am the playwright as the artistic director, I guess. But we do a lot of neoclassical stuff, so everything's like these, rhyming little rhyming things, or they'll be like Dickensian dresses and like a lot of door slamming and things like that. So and right now I'm really aiming, I really want us to do something outdoors, so that way we don't have to worry about sets or lights, and we just have to worry about costumes, which as one might tell from something like Dungeons and Dragons, costumes are what I live and love, because the costumes were a large component of
that. Yeah, well, your character there had probably the best entrance of the entire festival.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go Trent Stork.
And coming on down the line, what's next for you?
Flying home to Chicago, and I'll be home for about 2 weeks, and then I have a workshop of a play coming up at the Longmore Theater in New Haven, which is where I went to college, and so I'm very excited to be regressing completely for 2 weeks. And then this fall, I'm actually going to be the playwright in residence at University of Oklahoma. So I'll be in Norman, Oklahoma for 2 months. Not at the height of tornado season.
No, that's important.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, currently Peter Jackson and Steven Spielberg are both arguing over who gets
right. Well, naturally, I would hold out. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I'm waiting for someone big to step in.
Yeah,
like Michael Bay.
You gotta have a trilogy deal.
No. I live in the Southern California area, and there's not a lot of theater going on down there. Southern California listens to this, is going to punch me in the head. But it's a different kind of theater world, so right. I think my next step is to just sort of regroup, figure out what's going on based on what's happened here at the Humana Festival, which has been absolutely amazing. And then figuring out what to do next, I think, is it's a really good question. I need to discover that myself.
What's the most dreaded question you're ever going to be asked? You're probably, what are you going to do next?
Yeah.
I feel the pain when I ask the question. I just want to let you know. So again, thanks so much for stopping by and chatting.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support. Well, that's it. I'd like to thank the O Gastronomy playwrights and the 10-Minute Play playwrights for stopping by today and chatting on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. All information about this, show note links, pictures, that sort of thing, can be found on the website, inexplicabledumbshow.com. As always, you can be part of the Dumb Show. Call 615-866-1282 or put in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Next week, we're going to have more Humana. We're going to talk about the plays Death Tax and Eat Your Heart Out. And by the way, there's still time to get your tickets for Of Mice and Men. I'm playing Lenny. It's at the Boiler Room Theater down in Franklin, Tennessee. And you can get tickets at boilerroomtheater.com. So, more Humana next week. Until next time, hey, I'll see you. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnitude. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY. .com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.